You'll notice that our tree is all lit up there with the lights. We had a goal of $1,000 for our foreign missions, and we reached that goal last Sunday or Sunday before last, and we're still getting money in, which is wonderful. We don't have to give that much. We can give a whole lot more, but we're thankful that we've reached that goal of $1,000 for missions. Looking forward to tonight. We're going to have the musical, and it's a beautiful, beautiful musical. And we'll have the shepherds and the wise men and the angels coming around everywhere. It's a wonderful time. It's 6:30 tonight, and we hope that y'all can come back and bring your friends, particularly those who may not go to church. Invite them to come for tonight. If you have your Bible, would you take it and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew, the second chapter. Ann and I went on a trip several years ago, 10 years ago, I guess. And we ended up in Germany. My ancestors were from there. We visited Cologne, Germany. We were on a tour with a tour group, and we were looking for somewhere to eat that we understood where we should eat. Well, there was a McDonald's restaurant across the street from the largest cathedral in the world, the Cologne Cathedral. McDonald's seemed mighty out of place to me, but we were happy for the restroom, and we were happy for the McDonald's sandwiches and the fries. We crossed the street and went to this gigantic cathedral. Probably most of you are familiar with pictures of it. It's one of the most famous places in the world. And as we were going through and touring that vast, beautiful, ancient cathedral, I did not even know that this place was in there. A big golden box high up on a platform. It was the most beautiful, elaborate golden box. And they told us that in that box are the three wise men. At least bones and relics and things. As a matter of fact, it's because of that that the cathedral was built in the first place, as a place where the wise men could lay in rest. Very interesting to me. I was just overcome with awe and wondered, because I had no idea that long, many, many years ago. So if you would visit the cathedral in Cologne, you would see the place where traditionally the remains of the three wise men are found. Well, that's our story for today. Matthew chapter 2, about the wise men. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ, or the Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, "Why, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, so that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down, worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. These men are called sometimes wise men. Sometimes they're called rulers. Different expressions for these men. We don't know whether there were three of them or 12 of them. Many ancient traditions say there were 12. It may not have been. We don't have any idea how many there were. But early on in history, they thought because there were three gifts, maybe there were three wise men. And so I like to think of that, the three wise men. They even have names for them in some places. Does anyone know one of the names of the wise men? What's one name? It's the name of a ghost. Casper. One of them, they say, was named Casper, and he was from India, they say. Melchior, another one, they say he was from Persia. And Belshazzar, that third, they say, was from Babylon or Iraq. It would be Iraq today. And so these wise men, these rulers, were Gentiles from many different countries. And they came. They were those who studied the stars, and they saw the star in the east, and they knew something big was happening. You know, Christmas is a good time, but it's also a difficult time. At the nursing home Friday, as I had all those people gathered around in the circle around me, my piano player was playing for us, and we were singing songs about joy to the world and happiness, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. And I said to those folks, I said, I know that Christmas is for you all a time of somewhat mixed emotions. The time of joy, yes, but it's also a time of sorrow. And I thought of all those people who all their companions are gone, most of their children are gone, and there they are sitting just dreaming dreams about past events. And they all agreed with that because it is a time not only of tears of joy, but also tears of sorrow and of remembrance. A lot of the Christmas songs remind us of the joy. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, that's a beautiful Christmas song, isn't it? And it is a good time. But also there is that sorrowful time in our lives when sometimes our loved ones are not here. They've already gone on. And Christmas is not an easy time. For some of us, we just kind of wish it would all be over so we could get on with living and try to make our life better. There's several attitudes that I found in the experience of these wise men that I thought might be helpful to us today. And as you're thinking about your life and the holiday and all of that, these attitudes of the wise men can help us, I think. First and number one, what are you seeking? What are you trying to find at Christmas time? Our level of joy is related to what we are seeking, what we are looking for. What do you want to get out of it? Here at the church, we've been practicing on this Christmas music for 2 or 3 months. We've been so excited at getting it all done. What do we expect to get out of it? Family together? That's one wonderful thing. But what if there's no family now to get together? Then it's something else. Getting of gifts. Boy, that becomes a headache sometimes, doesn't it? Trying to figure out where to find all the gifts to give at Christmas. Of course, I know that some of you children have already gone to Santa Claus and you have told him what you want for Christmas. And at some place or another, you saw Santa and you told him what you wanted. You know, if we don't feel good about Christmas, it's not the holiday itself. It's not Christmas that is the problem. It is our expectations that really create the problem in our lives. The wise men, they were looking for Jesus, and that made all the difference in the world. And so if this Christmas season I am looking for Jesus, to worship Him, to praise Him, to give Him my all, to have an experience of wonderful, wonderful, majestic love for Jesus. If I'm concentrating my thoughts upon Christ, it'll make all the difference in the way that Christmas is in my life. And the same thing is true for you. They were seeking to worship. You'll notice that it says in verse 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now, certainly they were saying King of the Jews, but they wanted more than that. As a matter of fact, they came to Herod, and for 40 years, Herod had been called King of the Jews. That's what his title was. So it was not something unusual there. They were seeking more than just a man as a ruler. They were seeking the Messiah, the Christ, in verse 4, where Christ, the Messiah, should be born. And so during this Christmas season, I trust that we are seeking to worship Christ, Jesus, the Lord. So it depends on what you're looking for, what you're seeking. Secondly, where do you look? Where do you look? Our level of joy is related to where we are looking. You see, sometimes we look in the wrong places. There's a right place and a wrong place. That old country music song from the 70s, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, sometimes it's true even in our looking forward to Christ and for Christmas, looking in the wrong place. The wise men, when they came to Herod's palace, they thought this would be the place where we can find the answer to our search, the political realm. And for some of us, we're so upset these days. I was reading a long article in the newspaper this morning about all the problems in our government, all the problems in the world, all the things that have gone on this year in 2017. And at the end of the article in the Gazette this morning, it said 2018 cannot be worse than 2017 because there's no way it could be worse. And it listed all the tragedies, all the killings, all the hurricanes, all of the various things that have gone on this year. And it was mighty depressing just to think about all of that. And further to conclude the article by saying, well, at least next year cannot be this bad. Well, most of us realize it really could be. Next year may be a whole lot worse than this year. Difficult things in the world. And these wise men were looking for the political answer. They go to the Herod in the palace. The star had indicated to them that a special new king was being born. And so they went to the palace of Herod, the capital city. Oh, by the way, our president did say Jerusalem is the capital, you see, of Israel. They were coming to look for the Messiah, looking for Jesus. Where do you look? Thursday night, my granddaughter, Michaela, who's a senior in college now, she came and drove me to Little Rock. We took her cousin, my only grandson, Will, from Ouachita to the airport. And I said, well, Anna set it up. She said, I don't want Brother David driving at night in all that traffic in Little Rock. So Michaela said, I'll go and I'll drive you. Man, I'd go with her anywhere. I really would. I sat in the back seat, both grandchildren in the front. I just sat back there, didn't worry about one thing. She's really good, and she loves to drive my pickup truck. That's her favorite thing. But anyway, I said, we're going to try to find a place to eat tonight, and we want to find a good place for y'all, and we'll stop for supper. His flight he had to be there at 7 o'clock. Well, Will looked on he talked to Siri, is that her name, on the phone, and wanted to find a Chinese restaurant. Well, he told Michaela where the Chinese restaurant, I didn't realize it was 5 o'clock traffic time. Oh, it was awful on the interstate. They went off back 5 miles back toward Benton back there. He said, here's a restaurant. It's a Chinese restaurant. It's a 5-star. It looks like it's really good. And we sought and sought for it, one street and down the other. And we came to that restaurant. It was boarded up, weeds growing all around it. It looked like it had been closed for years. I don't know. Even the sign on the front was worn off of it. And here we sat in front of the most wonderful Chinese restaurant. And so Will said, well, about 5 minutes away, there's a Japanese restaurant and sushi. I said, boy, that's all right. Let's do something different. So they really went up one street and all the seeking, all the looking around. We pulled up in front of that on a parking lot there, kind of a little shopping center. We went up to the door and guess what? Closed, it said. Will fell to the door and it was open. He said, we'll go in. So we three walked in. It was a spooky looking place. They stayed in the front. I walked way back in the back. I saw some people back there doing something. And I said, folks, let's just get out of here. It was closed up too. So to make a long story short, we ended up at Chick-fil-A. That's where Miss Anna, we always stop for her at Chick-fil-A there in Bryant or Benton One. Well, it was interesting. But you see, we were seeking, trying to find, but we finally located somewhere else. What are you looking for? Presence, having the family together, all those things. You can look in the wrong place and be mighty unhappy and blue. I used to sing that song with Elvis, didn't you? I'll have a blue Christmas. and I still do sing it. Because I like to be sad sometimes, and you know that I do. But they began to look in the right place. And you'll notice in our story here, in our text, it said that Herod, the king, heard these things. He was troubled, all Jerusalem with him, when he had gathered, he got all the preachers together. That's what it means, the chief priests and the scribes. He got all those religious leaders, all those know-it-alls, those who really knew what was going on in the religious world. And he said to them, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? What place? And they said, look in the Bible. Well, Herod probably didn't even have a Bible. They said to him, it's written in the Bible in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, if you're looking for the scripture. And then they quoted that scripture in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, the place would come a governor, should rule my people Israel. You see, if you go back to Micah, that prophecy in the Old Testament, look in chapter 5 and verse 2, that's a prophecy of the day when Messiah would come and be ruler over Israel. And they knew that, and they told Herod about that. And so, verse 7, Herod privately called the wise men and inquired of them the time that the star had appeared. And so he sent them to Bethlehem because they found the answer. This is my whole point. There are wrong places to seek and to look, and there are right places. Last night I was listening to TBN it was 9 to 10 o'clock, I guess it was. And Brother Robert Jeffries was preaching the sermon. They're doing a study through the book of Luke, and they were there back in April. He said, this is the April sermon, but it's about Bethlehem and this experience that we're reading here. And he said, you know, if we just could look in the Bible and stop looking in all these other places. And we do have other places to look. I mean, the internet is filled. The world is full of people giving advice, telling us where we're to go, what we're to do. But we need to remember, and this is for all of us, for even the whole world, the place to look is the Word of God, the Bible. And the answers are there, and we need to seek for it. Anna was excited Thursday night. She went to that your women's Sunday school class meeting. And she said, I believe last year she challenged some of you women to join her in reading through the Bible this year. Let me get it straight here. And so she said at the party, I said, okay, ladies, how many last year said they were going to? 21 or 22, it said, we'll just try to read through the Bible this year. So she asked you ladies, how many of you all are up to date on reading through the Bible, and how many would? About 16 of that 20-something have been reading through the Bible this year. Anna came home, and she was so happy with all the stuff that she had brought, but I've never seen her happier. She said, the most wonderful thing that I heard at our women's party tonight was that so many of those women have actually been reading Bible through this year. We're almost through. I mean, we're into Hebrews or wherever we are today, but she was so thrilled. Why was she thrilled? Because there is nothing more wonderful and so important as reading and studying the Word of God. We make other things more important, but if we do, we're looking in the wrong places. What do you seek? Where do you look? And then the third question is, what do we give? We talked about the fact that we're giving to international missions, and that's so important. And we give. I'm impressed by the number of presents down here, Madonna, aren't you? That you're going to take and give to a needy family. And that's very wonderful. That's a part of what Christmas is really all about. The wise men brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I thought it was interesting about Herod and the scribes and the chief priests and all of that. Did you notice this in verse 4? He got the chief priests and the scribes together. That's the preachers, the religious leaders, all those who were supposed to know about godly things. Got them all together. He asked where the Messiah would be born. They knew the Word of God. They knew what the Bible said. So they answered him, well, in Bethlehem. That's where it'll be. That's where it's going to take place. And so Herod said to the wise men, I want you to go find it and then come back and tell me where it is. I was thinking about this. The chief priests and the scribes, they heard, they read in the Bible, it was Bethlehem where the Messiah would be born. But those religious leaders, those scribes and chief priests, they didn't say to the wise men, okay, y'all lead the way and we gonna go with you because we know what the Bible says and the Messiah is gonna be born in Bethlehem and you all are going there guided by the star to find him. We wanna go with you. We don't wanna miss it. There is no indication here that the chief priests and the scribes, they didn't give a hoot. Now, Mama used to always say that, I don't give a hoot. They didn't care. Apparently, they told them what the Bible said, where it was going to be, and then they went back to business as usual. That condemns them, in my view. They should have more gladly than any others. Once they knew what the Bible said, what God's word was, they should have outrun the wise men to Bethlehem. But I suppose they did like you and like I do sometime. Back to normal. Back to the routine. We told you what the Bible says. You can go find the Messiah. We don't have time. Other things to do. And so they were not there when the wise men found the place. That's a condemnation on those religious leaders, isn't it? So it depends on what we are looking for, where we are looking for it, and what we give. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, fit for a king. Frankincense, that was used by the priest as they offered the sacrifices. The frankincense, that smelly stuff that went up in smoke. And myrrh, that was what they would anoint a body of one who had died. As a matter of fact, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and those came to anoint his body after he had died, before he went into the grave. So really the gifts were sort of gifts for a priest, for a king, and for one who would die for the sins of the world. What are we looking for today when we think of next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and the next day after that will be Christmas Day? What are we really looking for? If we are looking for Jesus, if we're trying to find a way to worship him, I guess the most wonderful gift that we can give is ourself, isn't it? Give him your heart. That's what he really wants more than anything else. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we're thankful for all of your blessings. We're grateful, Father, for your love and mercy and for your grace. And we're thankful that you sent Jesus into this world to live and to die for our sins. And I pray that all of us in this room will be looking in the right place and making the right response and giving the right offering, the offering of ourself unto you. Lord, have your way in this invitation. I pray if there are those who want to join the church or come for baptism or to rededicate their life to you or whatever the need may be, that they will come and make the right decision. In Jesus' name, amen.